Testing, testing.
Hazy IPA.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Beer Opinions Podcast. My name is Pat Berger of Kaiser Tiger and Patty Longs, and with me as always is Bruce White of the Chicagoland Beer Tours. Bruce, how are you doing?
Doing well, man. Just did a Wednesday early afternoon corporate beer tour. Nothing like them.
It's a beautiful day for it.
Yeah, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do that. Shout out to Circle K. They were awesome. So
the grocery store?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
They had like a regional sales meeting here. So.
Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe you went there for dinner.
Yeah. No. That's my usual dinner.
So are you like nice and buzzed up for this podcast?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm feeling great.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good to hear.
Yep.
Well, we have a first on the Beer Opinions Podcast. We have four guests.
Yeah.
So they will be sharing mics. We apologize if there's any audio issues. This is a very low budget podcast, as we all know. They've been instructed to get right up in that mic, make out with the mic. And with that, let's get some introductions out of the way. We have the Lost Boys of Metropolitan Brewing Company. Josh Copley.
Copley.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to butcher everyone's name. Peter Anderson, or is it Anderson?
Open to interpretation. Really. Yeah.
He does live in Andersonville.
My people are also in Andersonville. The Swedes.
The Swedes, yeah. So it is Anderson. I was right. Brandon Baker.
That's correct.
In the house, good. I got that one.
I said his name right, sure.
Well, by the third one, I usually get it right. And Logan Lippincott. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, also see? I'm not too bad.
Thank you.
Yeah. Excellent. Welcome, gentlemen. And, how do we want to start this? This is, so the Lost Boys of Metropolitan, let's give a little backstory on that. It's a nickname that is on Instagram. You guys have an Instagram account, and that sort of details the ups and downs and joys and fun of being a brewer at the Metropolitan Brewery here in Chicago, Illinois. Specialty lager brewery owned by Doug and Tracy Hurst. Tracy is a past guest. And, let's start with maybe we'll go down the line here and try to get a little bit of backstory on everyone quickly, how you got into brewing and how you ended up at Metro. Let's start with Josh.
How did I get into brewing? I got into it because I liked beer a lot, basically. and I had a bunch of friends that homebrewed.
The lure of free beer?
Yes. Yeah. Living in Chicago, just being able to try so many different beers over the years and all the breweries popping up. Eventually, I decided to... I'm making a long story very short, but I quit my job in retail and decided to start volunteering at breweries just to see what that life was like. Ended up loving it and getting a job at Finch's Brewing on the packaging team.
We've had many ex-Finch employees on this podcast.
Yeah.
And it snowballed from there. And now I'm, I guess it hasn't really snowballed. I'm still in packaging here. the packaging manager at Metropolitan, one of the Lost Boys. I love it here.
Awesome. Peter, how about you?
Yeah, so I worked for 12 years in the restaurant industry, and I got fired from a job as a manager because I was not a good manager. I don't like suffer foolishness very well, and that is not a great trait.
It will not serve you well
manager.
In the restaurant business.
So I got fired, and my wife encouraged me to take my last paycheck and buy a homebrew kit because I had been thinking about homebrewing but had never really done it. And as anyone who's ever homebrewed knows, it is theoretically a way to make beer for less money than you can purchase it at the store, but that is false. Homebrewing is very expensive because you get obsessed very quickly, which is exactly what happened to me. I got obsessed. I started taking homebrew to like beer events and just trying to give it to people and being like, I will come work for free. I don't need the money. I just want to get in. And that led me to work for Empirical Brewery.
Sure.
For about a year and a half. And then because of the proximity to Metropolitan's old brewing space, I found out that they had an opening, and I took it because working here is rad. So I was Josh when I started. I was a packaging manager, and like a year and change ago, I got demoted to being the brewer.
That's what we always say at Kaiser when someone makes manager. We're like, oh, sorry, but we're going to demote you to
worst
manager.
Worst decision I ever made. Yeah, should have just stayed a server. Money's way better. Don't have to write schedules.
Right.
Or look at invoices. It was great.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Awesome. Brandon?
So I sort of stumbled in to the industry like a lot of people. I got out of the Air Force. I used to work with airplanes. And
he was not a pilot.
Not a pilot. It turns out...
you didn't fly jets?
Not everyone in the Air Force was a pilot. common misconception.
That's especially weird. Not him.
So I got out of the Air Force. I moved to Chicago. Kind of meandered about interviewing for different jobs. And in the meantime, I had a connection, my wife and now his wife, to Dave Blightner, now off-color co-owner. And at the time, he was interning at Metropolitan, and he set up a little tour for some friends and whatnot, and I got roped into that. And at the end of the tour, I talked to Tracy, and said, you know, hey, if you need a volunteer, I'm not really doing much these days. And didn't really think of getting into the industry as a job, but while I was a volunteer and, you know, still interviewing for stuff and got to the point where I really loved Metropolitan and the industry, and Tracy finally offered me a job, and worked in packaging for a while, and then like the last two bums became a packaging manager, and then since then moved on to be an operations manager here. So
moving on up, went from a volunteer.
Yeah, long time volunteer.
Nice. All right, Logan is up.
Well, first, thank you for your service. And also, congratulations on the birth of your daughter.
Thanks,
that's
buddy.
Right. Yeah. We have a Metro baby.
It's at this point, if we could pause and I can show you 300 pictures of my baby real quick.
All right, here you go.
Can you describe them for the podcast? That's what we're
here's one where she's sleeping.
She looks grumpy all the time.
I've seen a few on Facebook.
She's
very
a bald
cute.
Girl.
Very cute. They make them cute on purpose, you know. Yeah. So you don't, you
some
know.
Kind of evolutionary thing, right?
Yeah, so you don't do anything bad to them.
Well, my backstory is not unlike Josh and Peter's. Homebrewer, my formal education is in accounting, so there's a high level of meticulous like attention to detail, and there was an easy transfer of skills. So I saw the jump to homebrewing as a natural progression. I really enjoyed the fermented beverage. And after I turned 21, I never consumed one before that.
Just to be clear.
Scout's honor. But started volunteering at another brewery. And once I tasted Crankshaft, I knew I had to learn the ins and outs and secrets and alchemy behind this intoxicating elixir. And I find myself here today.
Where was your first brewery job?
It was at Finch's.
Finch's.
Let's not talk about those things.
It still had the apostrophe.
Same. At this point in time, it almost seems like Finch's must have had 300 people working there at one time, right?
It was a great experience. I was just kidding.
Absolutely. There's no.
I don't believe any of you. You know, they're not even in business anymore. You can trash Finch's. It's all right.
Finch is though.
I'm just
Finch is, yeah. And you know, sadly, they're making decent beer at Finch.
I agree.
They should have just changed the name.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. But you know, anyway, we've already talked about that.
Also, Pat, I don't know if we mentioned this yet. We are on location, by the way, as well. We are at Metropolitan's new-ish digs. Beautiful space, by the way, over
Thank
on the
you.
Chicago River. What's the exact address? It's up...
It's 3057 North Rockwell Street.
Yeah. I highly recommend everybody come to it. They have a beautiful tap room right along the river. I just wanted to give you guys a plug there because it's awesome. Yeah. And every time I come, there's more and more work. When I first came here, I had to walk through construction, and I was thought I was going to get murdered. But now, every time I come back, and now there was this beautiful brick walkway leading back toward the brew house. So props to you guys.
Absolutely. There's quite a change from the old digs. And, you know, beautiful tap room. And you're right. The when you first opened, I just didn't believe there was a brewery back there. And I just kept walking and walking. And I stopped a few times because, you know, I'm not in great shape. And someone kept going, no, keep going, keep going. And I did. And I eventually ended up in a tap room. It was amazing. It was like, you know, I don't know, a great quest at the end. And it discovering was,
yeah.
A tap room. But yeah, now it's still a very long walk, but it's a little more believable that there's a tap room at the end of the line.
Well, someday there will be attractions along the walk, things to keep you busy.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So this is like a whole cooperative sort of...
We're not cooperative.
No, I know you aren't, but I think the building itself is supposed to be kind of a... why don't you guys give me the lowdown on what they're accomplishing here?
I just have one thing to add to what you guys were talking about. I remember the murder hall. Zero confirmed murders, guys. Zero. All right, go ahead.
Sure. So Paul Levy's doing the development here. He did the green exchange as well. Big ups to Paul Levy. He's pretty much the only reason we're here because he picked up the building and helped us with the build out and has been very supportive of us, which is great. So Metropolis Coffee is already here. They've been here for 2 years. We moved in, so we're kind of the two anchor tenants. There is.
How often is your mail mixed up with
daily.
Metropolis
daily.
Coffee?
We, actually, our mail is just straight up delivered to them, and then they sort it and give us ours.
It was a little confusing before you guys were in the same building, but now you were just like, let's just make it full-on fucking confusing for everyone.
Like, my understanding is that until the whole project is done, we will all be the same address. So literally, like, oh, it's all 3057.
Yep. It's going to be a mess, yeah.
And then eventually our number will actually be higher than theirs, even though we're further north geographically. Like, we'll be like 3061 or something. I don't remember. It's really silly.
Just to really make it confusing.
But luckily we're good friends with them, and we have to go see them all the time anyway because they give us coffee. The life force.
Obviously. And you guys are making beer with their coffee, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a Logan project for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
correct.
Logan heard his name.
So a little bit more about the building. So I'm not sure how much detail I can put in. So it's Metropolis. It's us. There's a private event space that's had a handful of events already that can do like up to 950 people seated, which is really cool.
You can do like weddings and stuff there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. If they've had a bar mitzvah, they've had a wedding, they've had a gala, like a fundraising gala. Not sure. I don't really pay attention to it because I'm not involved, put it that way. And then there's going to be some manner of like food hall, food court, food incubator kind of situation that will be the walkway that gets you back to the tap room. So you'll actually be able to get food on your way in, or at least that's our understanding. They're not, for whatever reason, developers aren't like super forthcoming about what exactly is going in, probably because the plan keeps changing.
Yeah,
I imagine. So they don't want to make promises they can't keep.
No, you never want to reveal until the signed on the dotted line.
And then the front building, we'll see what it is. I think there's a restaurant going in. It's
probably not William.
Potentially a distillery as well. We'll see.
Ooh. I was going to say, I think we all know what it like.
We would like it to be a Malort distillery. Sam Meckling is unable to confirm... The Malort distillery going in our front yard.
This would jive because one thing we know about this project and Paul Levy in general is that he wants it to be a destination, right? So what better thing to make it a destination than a Malort distillery?
And it's time to get it back out of Florida.
And then we can start making Malort beers.
Yeah.
Well,
the world has been asking.
The forerunners of the Chicago head shake.
I will say.
It's a flywheel and a Sean Malort back.
True story.
Oh, yeah.
I will say I was very excited, and I am slightly disappointed that you guys aren't using a Malort bottle as a type of conch shell, you know, to when you're speaking right now. So that's my only...
It's on the shelf
We could rectify
there.
This very quickly.
I will say, I don't want to speak for Sam, but I think one of the things holding him back from changing where it's being produced is price. And the whole idea of Malort, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, stay that way. You'll probably be better off.
By your third shot, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I've had 400. I'm still on the fence. But, you know, the whole idea of Malort is that it's dirt cheap. And things that come out of artisanal, distilleries tend not to be. So, you know, it's a giant, giant distillery down in Florida that makes it. And that's how he can get that on the shelves for, I've never paid for Malort, but I'm sure it's pretty cheap on the shelf, right? You guys
probably. I think it's like $2.
Yeah. $5.99.
$5.99. Don't they actually pay you to take a bottle?
My first 15 years behind the bar, I never charged for Malort. It was always, you know, for that person that wanted the free shot. Oh, sure. I got a fucking free shot for you, asshole.
It's when you have that guest come in and they're like, I really think I have to fight my dad tonight. And you're like, here's your Malort.
But now people pay for it, which is great.
I feel like I've paid $8 for a shot of Malort by mistake. You know, like it's some fancy bar. Not that I go to fancy bars, but, you know, and it just pisses me off. Oof. I don't know. And then I wanted to, and then I went and fought my dad.
I guarantee your dad won. Yeah. Shout out to Bruce's dad.
he did.
He might excellent. Not be able to beat my dad in a fight, but he can beat you in a fight.
So let's talk a little bit about Metro. And, you know, one of the things that has always stood out about Metropolitan and the reason that I sought it out when it first came on the market, I've told Tracy this story. I didn't order anything from Windy City because I couldn't get my Windy City rep to show up to Patty Long's when we opened. So I was like, well, fuck them. I'm not going to, you know, order anything from them. And back then you could get away with that because there were other distributors with great brands, not so much anymore. But I saw it when Metro hit the scene and there was an all lager brewery. I was like, well, holy shit, I've got to get on this, you know? And they were the very first product from Windy City that I ever carried. So why don't we talk a little bit about, because now, you know, I have been saying for 15 years that the next trend in craft beer is lagers. And for the last 14 years, I've been wrong. But I think I'm finally right.
You're wrong.
Am I still wrong?
It's brute IPAs this year.
Is it fruit?
Fruit? Brute.
Oh, brute IPA.
IPAs.
Dry.
Fruited brute IPAs. Sour with glitter.
I'm glad we finally...
The hazy brute IPAs with fruit and glitter. So hot right now.
You're probably right. But everyone seems to be making one. Everyone's making a lager. Do you guys...
Sure. Yeah, they need to back off.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you're, you know...
Maybe just leave Pilsner to us.
Kind of like we've been here all this time.
I see it as a good thing.
But, you know, why don't we talk about that a little bit and how... I think it starts with Tracy and Doug and their whole idea of this brewery, but, you know, what would make you guys go, yeah, I'm just going to make lager all the time? What drew you to that?
Well, we shipped our first beer commercially in 2009, and since that time, there was no other production brewery besides Goose Island in Chicago. And Doug and Tracy really had, I don't want to say the stones, but they put everything they had, every bone in their body behind founding Metropolitan, choosing an idea, focusing in on a certain phylum of the brewing industry and perfecting it. And I'll say perfecting it because I feel that any beer that we release gets approved down the line by every single member on this team.
Yeah, we talk about that on the podcast sometimes about how it became very fashionable for breweries to make a different beer every day, you know, and to come out with, you know, 400 SKUs a year and all this. And I'm sure creatively, maybe that's fun for the brewers. But, you know, I'm a fan of breweries that take the time to work a recipe and tweak it for, you know, 100 years until it's perfect. You guys are on the front lines of that. Do you ever feel like, come on, Doug, let me make a, you know, a hazy IPA or whatever? Does that ever come
no.
up,
Peter? No, it doesn't. No.
What about like?
We have like a 20-gallon test batch system.
Yeah.
That actually technically is the property of the Siebel Institute from their advanced homebrewing course, but they don't offer that course anymore. So it's ours.
Well, it's good. It's being used. You know.
Yeah. Sure no. And so we pull that out, and that's where we can, you know, do whatever we want to do. So, you know, we've brewed a style called a Lichtenhainer that Logan brewed, which is like a sour smoked wheat beer.
With glitter?
Mm. With glitter. No, there's no glitter.
Acidulated glitter.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You know, we've brewed, you know, lager styles that we haven't made on the production system, like Maibock, like Dortmunders, things like that. The last thing I brewed on it was a common with Mandarina Bavaria hops, which is still fermenting. So we do get to like play around with that. And sometimes if they're good enough, maybe they show up as a collab and we kind of have the recipe already sussed out as far as what we want to do. But really, like, I'm very happy just brewing lagers. I have no problem with that at all. And the brew house, it's all the same to me, you know, is really fermentation where lagers and ales, you know, lagers are the left-hand path, as it were, and ales are the right-hand path. So
left-hand
path.
All,
yeah, yeah.
We also all worship Satan, so the left-hand path is...
Did I say path? I meant left-hand pass.
Yeah.
Pass. Well, like the Cannibal Corpse record.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's right over there.
It's over there, yeah. Cannabis Corpse. My fault.
Satan drinks lager? I guess it is hot in hell.
Yeah. Although the lagers are going to be probably warm down there.
Well, the vast majority of the world drinks lagers.
People in hell.
This is true.
Ice water, and you know, you can just give them crankshaft. Fuck them.
Wait, can we swear on this?
We can.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, hey, I'm taking Pat's lead on this one.
Yeah,
he's dropped three.
Yeah, this isn't on the radio, please. Yeah. There's only like three people who are ever going to hear this.
Yeah. Hi, Dad.
Yeah. Bruce's dad is one.
Hey, Bruce. This is Dad.
Okay, maybe you can beat up my dad.
Oh, man. No, I guess I have a question. And actually, one of the three is also my buddy Steve Kelly, who actually says our podcasts are getting better. So I wanted to give him a shout out.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, but also yes, he knows.
Sorry about that.
just like when I saw Brandon's new daughter, and I said your baby is very cute. It's kind of the same thing.
Well, getting better isn't saying
just
much.
Just kidding, buddy. Just kidding, buddy.
Dude, that's a deep dad cut.
Yeah, come on.
Meowch.
She already cries enough. Damn it.
But he, you know, he is clueless when it comes to most things. Sorry, Steve, I'm just kidding with you. But if you had to talk to kind of laymen, what is kind of the day-to-day in the brew house? Just to kind of give people who may not be as familiar, kind of just give a brief overview, what you like, what you don't like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that flywheel.
Yes, you got
Sorry,
it.
I'm dry here.
He said brew house, so that's Peter.
Well, I was going to say, if anything, I'd like to break it. Production side, I'm going to break it down in three parts. It's going to be the hot side, the cold side, and then the packaging department. And I'm going to start with Peter, so on this one.
I'm the hot side. I power lift, so that's why.
Tell him about it.
So day to day, mostly cleaning things, lifting heavy objects. Sweating. I do a lot of sweating. I'm very good at it. I'm a pro.
You push buttons.
I push buttons, yeah. So at our old brew house was a 15-barrel brew house. It was very manual. All the valves were manual. All of the work was manual. It was very, very lo-fi, as it were. But produced, you know, pretty solid beer. We made crankshaft on it for 9 years, so I guess it, or 8 years, it did its work. And then we moved here and now all the valves are pneumatic and I literally just like push a button on a touch screen and the valves open, which is really rad. So mostly I just check Facebook and like post to Twitter and Instagram.
So where's the sweating?
Oh, it's just hot. Just generally hot.
That's what you mean. Yeah. Come on, tell them.
No, you know, it, on a brew day, Doug, the head brewer, is here usually around 7. He mashes in the first batch, gets it to the point where it's recirculating. I show up about 9 because I'm lazy and because I'm lifting at the gym. Yeah, getting swole. And I show up at 9. Him and I will pitch the yeast into the fermenter, get the...
No one else can see Brandon shaking his head and rolling his eyes, but I think the listeners felt it.
Or Peter flexing right now. I mean, like, it's impressive.
It's a lot of that on the Instagram.
He doesn't even lift.
I don't lift. No. I go to the gym, weights get moved around, but I would not call it lifting, no. And yeah, me repositioning weights, yes. Me and Doug will work together.
What do you mention?
First, like, hour and a half of the day. I'm still talking, guys. God. So rude.
No this one's is how listening. I imagine okay, this was right? going to go. But
yeah. Yeah, there's a peanut gallery effect happening right now. So me and Doug will pitch yeast mill in for the second batch of the day, and then he disappears into the ether, and I do the rest of the brew day by myself, more or less. He'll come back to help me grain out and things, but it's pretty much me and the brew house making sure the wort comes out correctly and gets chilled to the correct temperature and oxygenated and all the hops go in. Oh, that's what I forgot today.
The hops.
I forgot to put hops in the Oktoberfest. All right.
That's all right.
So eventually the cold side comes in. Very sweet.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear the cold side story.
Well, here on the cold side with Logan Lippincott. I oversee fermentation, so basically any of the vessels that are in the cellar are under my direct supervision. And yes.
That's for Josh Knoll. I know he's listening.
I doubt it.
I would concur with Pat. So direct observation of fermentation, making sure the brewers have the tools they need to make a sugary liquid into a magical intoxicating liqueur or elixir.
Wait, does this have alcohol in it?
It does, yeah.
Oh, wait, do you take gravity readings and stuff?
No, I don't need that, but I do make sure it's bubbling. Beyond that, I also kind of moonlight in the packaging department, so I run up against Josh and Brandon and run filtration, clarify the beer.
You say run filtration like that's just a trivial thing. Oh, like that is a very intense process.
We're talking about lagers. I do have a technical question. So, you know, I'm sure most of our listeners know, but, you know, obviously you're fermenting at a lower temperature than an ale. What temperature do you start out at? You start out in the 50s?
Pat, that's proprietary.
Oh, is it? Is this part of Tracy's rules?
Definitely don't walk through the cellar and look at all of the temperature controllers. You will not learn anything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Or the brew logs that are hanging off of the tanks.
I think Pat's trying to brew a lager.
I'm always trying to brew a lager.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to withhold material. But usually lower 50s, lager, Saccharomyces, you want to go Pastorianus?
I prefer Pastorianus.
Yeah, Pastorianus.
Yeah. Honest in it.
That's
ANUS. Yeah, yeah. You can work it out.
Yeah.
As the bottom fermenting strain, it typically ferments best between 48 and 54 Fahrenheit. We ferment within that range. And with our specialty hybridized ale yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, that ferments within 55 to 68 degrees, and we ferment somewhere in between that.
Let me ask you, do you think a lager is a lager because of the yeast you use or because you lager it?
Both.
Does it have to be both?
Yes.
So,
Brandon, you want to weigh in?
Well, I first thought when you asked that question, Pat, is it's the whole lager ale thing is people think of the yeast, but it's really more of a spectrum, I think, and it's there's a gray area. And when you talk about lagering versus lager yeast, you can have a lager that has lager yeast and got lagered, and an ale that didn't get lagered, and then things in between. So I think it's good to think of it as more of a spectrum than.
And you can have a beer that was used a lager yeast but wasn't lagered.
Correct.
Sure. So those aren't lagers, right?
Well, you're trying California to pin us down on the definition of a warm fermented lager that's not lagered.
Well, this taps into, as Logan was talking about in the cellar and, crankshaft, and we do use an ale yeast. And we often get called a lager brewery, and we call ourselves a lager brewery. But Tracy has said it in the past, the more accurate description is we are a lagering brewery. All of our beers get lagered, including crankshaft. So it uses an ale yeast, but it gets lagered. Is it a lager? No, obviously not. But it has lager quality. So there you go. It's a beer that falls somewhere in the middle in this spectrum.
Just to prove again, there are no rules, right? There's exactly. An exception to everything.
Put your glitter in it. Just put the glitter in it. No rules. I was thinking, you heard it here first.
When he said no rules, I was thinking glitter as well. I'm on Instagram too much.
I will say that there is a profound difference in the flavor profiles between ale yeast and lager yeast. A very profound difference.
Yeah, absolutely. There is. Absolutely.
And we've certainly come across beers that presented themselves as lagers, as pilsners, as Viennas, that we then found out were fermented with ale yeast, and you can most certainly taste it. It's in there. There's a fruitiness, there's an ester profile that, an ale yeast will strain to ferment if you ferment it too cold and throw flavors that are not typical of a lager. And we certainly come across that. So there is a very much a profound difference between the types of yeasts, as it were. So that's something I'll say. If you're going to make a lager, please use lager yeast.
And please, the more you please know. Please give it.
Thanks, Jordy.
LeVar McBride, that was Reading Rainbow host. Yeah. I know it's the same guy. All right. But also, please give it the time. It's due.
The time, right? Yeah, that's a big, because time is money. And, that brings, this is news to Peter, but, this brings us to another point of, lagers themselves, especially, the popular lager styles. In ingredients, there may be, they may cost less money, right? Because usually they're a little lower alcohol. Lower in hops. Hops are expensive. Malt's expensive. But then you got to keep them twice as long in the fermenter than an ale. Therefore, time is money. And you're producing half as much liquid as you could if you were making ales, which really makes them more expensive, right? Does that ever, and then there's this perception nationally, worldwide, that lager is cheap and should be priced cheap. Is that something you guys butt up against a lot? Being a lager brewery, it's like this should cost the same price as Natural Light.
We don't see it succinctly in one avenue or the other, but generally speaking, yes. Now that we're in our newer facility and we have more tank space, we currently have a little more flexibility than before we moved. That will change over time as we continue to expand our market. But at the end of the old space on Ravenswood, where we had less tank space, Just as the operations guy who's scheduling beers, and you know, I'll use the example of the fall when we're producing our Oktoberfest Afterburner, which is our most popular seasonal beer, and it can get downright stressful when you're trying to schedule these beers and produce them, knowing that they need to be in the tank for 4 weeks minimum, if not sometimes longer.
Right. There's also, you know, there's a kind of a new wave of craft brewers trying to take on macro brewers with the same styles of beer, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously the most successful one so far, I think, is the Solid Gold from Founders.
Mm-hmm. We got some. We shotgunned it on Friday. It was awesome. Actually, it's really good shotgun.
I know it's hump day, but
we can shotgun right now. It is. I'm not worried.
Everyone is equipped. We can just do a.
The Lost Boys are known for shotgunning.
Podcast on air shotgun of Solid Gold.
So
every day is a shot. Every day is a Friday on.
Every day is an opportunity.
But my question, right, Bruce? I do have a question.
Well, pass those questions
somewhere in here.
Your question is now irrelevant. So
yeah. All that matters is shotgun. I think we have to do a shotgun now, Pat, on air. Are these?
No, well, they are room temperature.
They're ripe and ready.
Room temperature shotguns. Yeah. But my question is, do you worry that this is because Solid Gold is a nice beer. I mean, I'll drink it, you know. But with I think it's an $18 case price or something, or $18.15.
Beer Temple has it for $15.99 for a 15 pack.
For a 15 pack, right?
Beer Temple located. No. I don't know their address. There are neighbors.
Shout out to Chris Quinn.
Shout out to Chris Quinn. He's a
those guys are all right.
Past guest. He taught me everything I know about podcasting, which may be why this is going.
We ruined his episode. Sorry, Chris. Didn't turn out well.
But you know, like
I still want to be on the DART team, Chris. Just so you know.
Do you worry that it's going? You know, I think you guys spent a lot of time. I could be wrong, and maybe this is a Tracy question because you guys aren't in charge of pricing and all that, but, you know, like, do you worry that suddenly after all these years of kind of, you know, thumping the idea of, you know, hey, this is a craft beer, you know, just because it's a lager doesn't mean it's, you know, cheap, and we're a craft brewery, and, you know, the style of beer is actually expensive to make. Are you worried something like Solid Gold, you know, is going to bust that bubble open? No.
Well, one quick anecdote on this topic you're asking. I am waiting for the day. I'm waiting for the day where somebody, you know, who's been maybe enjoying a beer like Solid Gold and then has one of our beers, having never heard of us before, makes the assumption that, you know, we came after. Oh, cool. You guys are doing what Founders does, huh? You know, that kind of thing. I'm waiting for that to happen. But to your point, none of us here today work, you know, at least exclusively in marketing and sales and all that. But, you know, are we worried? I personally, just speaking for myself, not so much. I think a brewery like Founders, which I have a lot of respect for, you know, they're that larger regional brewery, and there's certainly overlap here that we're talking about with lagers, but they're maybe targeting a slightly different demographic than we are locally, having just opened a tap room. I mean, maybe I'm biased because I see our tap room raging most nights, packed with people, but I think there's enough separation between us and Founders in terms of our size and where we're at and all that that. You know, they're not going to hopefully affect us too much.
Yeah. I will say, you know, my experience with it is I thought, like, because we have a cheap beer at Kaiser Tiger, Schlitz, you know, and
awful.
Have you considered Solid Gold? I drink very inexpensive.
Well, so I did. So I was like, you know, this is good. Let's bring Solid Gold in. And I kind of pulled the staff and stuff, and they were like, look, you know, the people we sell Schlitz to, they will balk at it being from a Founders Brewery. They won't believe me when I say, look, this is our lightest beer. You know, right.
It's too big of a jump for them.
Yeah. They're just like, no, they, you know, these people that we're selling Schlitz to don't want it to taste good. You know, I mean, it, in their mind, it does taste good. Right. But, you know, they're looking for that. You know, they know what Schlitz is.
Yeah.
They don't know what Founders is, Solid Gold is. They think that's another fancy, stupid craft beer.
Obviously, right? It's an IPA.
I mean, you know, that's what they're
all
thinking.
All craft beer is an IPA. Well, you know,
an intruder, so to
right.
speak.
So they were like,
in their world of beer.
Yeah, so my bartenders were like, no, I don't want to have to explain it to them. You know, I just want to, all these people, you know, anyone who orders a Schlitz for me doesn't care to begin with. Why, you know, would I try to have a conversation talking them into a Founders beer? This is why we carry Schlitz for those people. You know, the people that order Miller Lite. Yeah. No, we have Schlitz. Oh, well, you know, they all know Schlitz. So I think maybe Founders might have a, you know, they're going up against these big guys. That's tough, man. No one does. Yeah.
If you want to go into a price war with a brewery that like operates globally, you're going to lose.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And because the money isn't what they're after. Like, and they'll give it away at half price.
It's a volume.
They don't care. Right. Yeah, and the know? People that do care, right? The people that care about where their beer comes from doesn't drink adjunct lager.
I will say, though, that a $15.99
I mean, I do.
15 but, you know, is I mean, super rad.
It's really
and I
weird.
Will absolutely buy it just to keep it in my fridge.
I do. And
it
a lot
can
of
be
people,
right next to Sierra Nevada Pale.
A lot of us do. A lot of professional beer people do because we like to have a beer that is, you know, mindless.
Shotgunnable.
Yeah, shotgunnable that you don't have to think about that, you know. But your average consumer who's into craft beer, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if they're interested in a corn lager.
But I, you know, I think all of us probably in the room had a beer, that a craft beer that sort of opened our eyes to what craft beer can be.
True.
And Solid Gold could certainly be that beer for a lot of macro drinkers.
Well, especially but it doesn't taste any different than a macro beer.
It does.
I think it has a much more profound like hop profile to it on the nose and on the flavor. Much much more than the big boys. Like the body is very similar, the carbonation is very similar, but for me, it has much more hop forward character to it. Yeah. Not in like not a citrusy, juicy, you know, hazy kind of way.
We do lagers, right? So we're a little more sensitive, maybe, to what Peter's talking about.
Yeah, anything above 20 IBU tastes hoppy to me.
Peter, given we're drinking it 30 degrees above what the genuine, like.
Well, I drank it very fast, like within a couple seconds. And it tasted hoppy.
Yeah, I'm glad you have this nuanced review of Solid Gold after shotgunning it.
Is that what Jim Cook says to do? Chew your beer? Is that the...
Yeah, you gotta drink yeast so you don't get a hangover. Right. And then you shotgun the beer.
We didn't have it at Patty's. It was somewhere else, but we enjoyed it in a bar.
Yes.
It was good.
Yeah, it is good. I like it. I, you know.
But I'm just saying, like, every craft beer drinker has their breakthrough beer. And this, in my mind, could certainly be that for a lot of people, which is only good for the rest of the industry. So,
well, and to piggyback on what Peter's saying, I think that's certainly true. I look at our brand and what we've been doing for the last 9 years or so, and one facet of our marketing is, you know, we do lagers. Hey, Joe Schmo, who's only been drinking, you know, Miller Lite his whole life, here's, you know, essentially a gateway beer. We've talked about our beer as a gateway beer, from your traditional macro drinker getting into craft beer. You know, try this Kolsch, try this Pilsner. And I've seen it. I've family members, usually older family members who, you know, never drank anything but macros, and give them some flywheel, and they were totally on board. And now I give them a six-pack every once in a while.
My father-in-law's words when he tried flywheel was, oh, this is what beer used to taste like.
Huh.
When I was a kid. Yeah. I was like, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So now I have to take flywheel every time I go to St. Louis.
And, you know, we should say noted craft beer hater Anthony Bourdain was a fan of Crankshaft, right?
Yes. He hated beer nerds yeah. more kidding. Than anybody.
We proudly reposted his picture where he's in he's at a press conference, it appears, or somewhere wherever he is, and he's got a bottle of Crankshaft in front of him. And we've known of him previously of making comments about how much he enjoys Crankshaft. And I think if you read his comments, not just in the one interview that sort of drew the ire of a lot of people in craft beer, but other comments he's made.
I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, personally. I love it. I personally am totally on board with what Anthony Bourdain's opinion was. But he made many comments about kind of what he, you know, to sum it up, his comment about like cold, cheap beer.
Yeah,
green bottle, cold, cheap beer.
Don't be too pretentious about it.
Don't be too
right?
pretentious about yep. it. Exactly. And not that Crankshaft is a green bottle beer, but it's very approachable. It pairs well with food in terms of not taking over your palate if you're trying to, you know, eat something with nuance. So anyway, yeah, I'm a big Anthony Bourdain fan.
But yeah. I think we all are, a big loss to our industry in general.
Yeah,
you know. Very sad, and you know.
Yeah. I drank crappy beer with him at a bar next to Nomi one night.
Ugh.
Really?
When I worked That's at awesome. Nomi, he'd eaten it true, and he was just in town like on pleasure or whatever, and he'd eaten it true, and he told all the people at True, hey, like, where's the nearest dive bar? And they pointed him to this bar on Rush Street in Chicago, and the people at True were like, Anthony Bourdain's going to be in. You should go over there. So we all went over there and drank crappy beer and did shots with Anthony Bourdain. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
That is cool. I, you know,
I kept my distance because I'm not a cook, so I didn't want to like.
I got a text.
I'll be over there, yeah. but I'm drinking beers with
fuck.
Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, for sure.
I got a text one night that he was at Old Town Ale House, and you know, hey, you should get over here. And I did not go because I, you know, it's weird. I was like, no, you know, he's gonna know that I'm like stalking him, and I want it. You know, I'm gonna meet him one day, and. It's going to be natural and cool, you know? And it's so super, nerdy, super, isn't it?
What are you, like 16?
I felt like it.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't go. I guess I should have, you know?
Well, you're just a fake.
I overthought it.
He would have seen right
there. You're all going to laugh at you. Yeah.
It's like, he'll know. He'll know I'm just there to see him.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, rest in peace, Anthony. I hope he, you know.
Thank you, Mr. Bourdain, for everything
no doubt,
that
right?
you gave us. We love you.
Yep. And if anyone is feeling sad, please know that it gets better, right?
Yeah, toast you into the ether.
Sure. Cheers.
Yeah. Yep, we're cheersing.
Sorry, guys.
The audience might not realize we've been drinking through this whole podcast. I think they know.
Fuck yeah. Oh, you can curse on this thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, now is the time we go around and shamelessly plug whatever we would like. So we'll start with Josh. We'll go in order.
I watch kegs a lot.
Said we were going in order, Logan.
I know. But for the record, we all refer to him as Chubb.
Chubb. Oh, well.
Specifically, Old Chubb, if you want. The full name is Old Chubb.
All right, Old
so
Chubb.
So from this point on...
There's a beer, Old Chubb.
Yeah, throughout the podcast, I'd like for you...
Oh, you want me to go back and edit Chubb into every reference of Josh?
No, but from this point on...
Quiet. I'll say Old Chubb once, then you just cut it in on all the Josh references.
I just need all references to Josh to
old
be
Chubb.
Redirected as Chubb.
Just Old Chubb.
All right, let's start over.
We're
going to go in order, and you can plug whatever you want or say whatever you want. If you have an ethos or an event, anything. Let's start with Old Chubb.
I'm a simple man. I have nothing to plug. I would like to thank everybody for listening and thank Pat and Bruce and Sean for having us on.
Oh, it's lovely.
Josh would also like to say that you should go buy records at Bucket of Blood.
His name's Old Chubb.
Yeah.
Bucket of Blood is a great place.
That's a fair.
Yeah, you're the one who just said we had to edit
it. So, Old Chubb would like to tell you to go buy records at Bucket of Blood.
I agree with that. That's a great place.
They are fantastic people.
All right. That counts as Peter's plug. Let's move on.
No! I have so much to plug. All right. I will be at the gym on tomorrow morning. You can come find me. We'll move some weights around. No, you know, we're getting geared up for the summer festival season. The biggest one, as always, is Great Taste in the Midwest.
North of the Cheese Curtain.
It right? is. That's yeah. the greatest beer festival, I'll say, in the world, because I haven't been to a bunch of other ones.
The Friday night before, if you want to come ogle some brewers, come to the Paradise. We'll all be there drinking beers and getting silly and being ridiculous and then being hungover when we have to wake up at 9 in the morning and go set up our booth at the festival. So, Great Taste of Midwest. It's awesome. If you don't have tickets, you're not going, so deal with it.
By the way, it's impossible to get a ticket. Anyway.
Yeah. Sounds like Ja Rule's Fire Island.
Fire Festival?
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
wait,
there's Fire luxury, Island. That's something luxury different. Tents, never mind. Luxury
Mom,
food.
Sorry,
we're going to have bologna sandwiches.
All right, so moving on. Brandon, what's up?
My plug is it's going to go back to a question you asked maybe 20, 30 minutes ago that I don't think ever got answered.
Did I ask
it? Yeah. I think we got off the rails. But, you know, in terms, you asked a question earlier, you know, what do we like and don't like in our job? So not to sound like a dork, but I'm going to plug this team. All these guys do an amazing job in their facets and in their departments, and it's been a pleasure working with them. I'm not leaving. I'm staying here, but it's been a pleasure working with them.
I would like to say, Brandon, it's been great working with you. Yeah. Good luck. I hope you land well. Tracy told me a long time ago that anyone with children will have to be excommunicated.
They're no longer a Lost Boy,
yeah,
right?
Is that right? Excommunicated yeah. from the Lost Boy brotherhood.
Please send diapers.
Yeah. Please send Brandon diapers.
The handcuffs beg to differ.
Logan, you are up. What would you like to say? I'm scared, but I mean, what would you like to say?
I'll give you this one, Pat. This is just this like a shameless plug. You know, we're working on fantastic coffee beers here in the tap room, and they have been slowly making their way out in the market. Honestly, working in tandem with Metropolis, the head roaster, Chris Petrovich, and then making a third-party partnership with Kyoto Black, Justin Doggett, I think we've been able to achieve and elevate the realm of what coffee and beer can be and a single drinker's perspective can detect, like perceive there in the glass. And it's been beautiful to watch here in a public space. So I really, really have been excited to have that aspect to the move. And I'm excited for the future. So
awesome. I hope we can get some of those beers in distribution soon. We had the pleasure of having a Jitterator cake at Patty's, and
Jitterator's legit. Killer. I mean, that's an awesome beer.
Yeah, on Nitro too, which is
God,
forget about it.
I think there's caffeine, a lot of caffeine in that, right? Hence the name. Yeah. So like, but that's awesome because sometimes I need.
Because Bruce needs to get jacked up when he's getting fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Bruce is doing the gotta balance.
I was doing the thumbs up. You couldn't.
He needs that edge after. That edge after the Malort chat when he's about to fight his dad.
I've been drunk the whole time, guys.
He's
I'm
thinking
sorry
about
if I
charging
been
someone from Malort. And he's like, wait, no, I got to come up. I'm too low.
But man, that Jitterator. Oh my God.
Speaking of Patty Long's, thank you for being such a staunch supporter of our brand for so long and always having our beers on. It's always nice to have those accounts where we can go in and know that we'll have beer around and we can put out bad beer and you'll keep buying it. No, I'm just kidding. and also I will note that you were the second place team in this year's boot race.
Oh, I was going to ask about.
And Logan
did not spill
hardly any beer at all.
I wish we were second place. We were third.
Really? You didn't tell me this, Pat.
It seems like you're not even trying. It seems like you want us to win.
I'll
which
tell
is
you
nice
this.
For us, we don't need the ego boost.
You know, we're not practicing or, you know. You know,
well, whose fault is that?
Yeah, well, you know, someone might be sucking the fun out of this contest. Might be you guys.
we're having a lot of fun. We win every year.
Okay, maybe you should look at who's sucking.
Yeah,
okay?
just a little backstory for the listener.
Clear.
We do a boot race every year. Patty Longs kicked your guys' ass a couple of times, and then you guys were like, "Oh, I'm going to the gym and, you know, slamming boots."
Swole. Well,
yeah, yeah.
And
in between your bench presses, you're out there slamming boots and practicing, and now you're like a well-oiled machine, and I'm just getting older and slower, and yeah, it's been pathetic, but we will win that belt back next year. Mark my words.
It doesn't sound like you believe what you just said.
Did it come through that clearly?
Yeah, that was pretty. That wasn't as confident as.
Gosh darn it, that belt will be ours. Maybe I don't know. Whatever. Looks nice above your brewery.
I'll drink some beer.
I will say that event is definitely one of the best events we do every year.
It is fun. We're talking about beer under 10, and
I believe.
Yeah. But is the acronym? Yes.
BUT. I'll never forget Doug puking into Tracy's bike helmet.
I will never forget that. Never. It was. You know. Doug tried to apologize for it, and I was like, "Never apologize for that, my friend. That was the greatest thing ever." And they were recently divorced, which made it just, it was wonderful. Best thing to ever happen. All right.
And I want to say that the story is always Tracy's bike helmet.
The puking was the best thing to ever happen.
Yes.
But, correct. Okay, just making sure it wasn't
the other
thing.
Oh, no, the puking. It was glorious. Anyway,
the story is, you know, everyone knows it went to Tracy's bike helmet, but it also went all over my dinner.
Oh,
I don't know how to do. And that's okay. It was worth it.
And Patty Longs did not refund him his dinner.
Kind of was that a bomb sandwich or what was
But the credit card's still open, so just keep buying.
In my mind, that was still edible. I don't know.
Recently down, recently up, right?
Sales are final. All right.
We're standing to a slice of bacon. On the
Bruce, what is going on with you, my friend?
I'm going to try to sober up. Other than that, we're doing beer tours. So hop on a beer tour. We can do weekday beer tours. We can do beer tours anytime you want. That's all I got. Dad, do you want to fight me?
Hello?
He can take you, I'll tell you that.
He did.
Yeah, I do want to fight you.
I'm just kidding, Dad. I love you, man.
Bruce's dad. He's our most loyal listener.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Yeah. How about you, Pitt?
I just want a quick shout out to some loyal listeners who got married and are on a what looks like a lovely honeymoon in Europe. Roger and Cheryl. Wonderful couple. Roger is an old Chicago Beer Society guy who is a great guy, and it's very nice that he met Cheryl and they fell in love and got married. So congratulations to them. They were drinking what looked like some beautiful Zwickel beer in Germany today on Facebook, and I was jealous. So
congrats, guys.
Congrats.
We have
Zwickel
beer in our tap room right now.
Yeah, I just
on Nitro. Shameless plug.
I'm friends with both of them. I love them. And they were drinking German beer in Italy.
Can you
awesome.
Try not to be shameless? Yeah, was it in Italy?
I don't know where they were.
A moment.
There you go. They were in Italy drinking German beer. So God bless them. All right. Well, I think we have sufficiently run down the Lost Boys.
Did we cover everything?
I guess so. You can find them on Instagram, by the way, at, I don't know, what is
it? It's Metro Lost Boys with a Z.
Of course, with a Z.
Yeah. And it's very silly.
And it's on the Insta. And
what's the name, by the way? Just like, is it exactly what you think? The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys? It's from Peter Pan.
Yeah.
So I thought this was going to be a portion of the interview, but it was a name supplanted onto us But if you think about it, we're wandering off in Neverland in this beer fantasy. And it's pretty fantastical because we can just find our own way.
Refusing to grow
never
up.
Have just to, one we happy never thought. Have to come home, and we can always find the third star to the right straight on until morning.
And we can all fly. We didn't talk about that.
And never growing up. And Brandon, don't worry. As a father of three, fatherhood doesn't it doesn't change you at all.
Yeah, it does. You're
fucked. Oh, you had me for a second.
I was starting to get excited.
On that note, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please tell your friends. We are beeropinions.co.co. We are on iTunes and I don't know, a bunch of other websites.
Yeah,
and
a lot of them.
Wherever podcasts are sold or free, because it's a free one.
Yeah.
And
we'll pay you actually.
We'll put you on salary if you listen. Yeah, so thank you very much to everyone. And until next time.